The following program is presented by the Far East Broadcasting Company because stories of people living out the gospel with their lives inspire all of us. FEBC, taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. Learn more at febc.org.
We talk about the what I call the Retirement Reformation Challenge related to the COVID-19. Here's the challenge to seniors, but is be more than vulnerable and do more than nothing.
Our first person guest is Bruce Breinsma, the creator of what he calls the Retirement Reformation. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and as you listen, you'll hear Bruce challenge seniors to be not just survivors, but thrivers. We'll get started with our guest in a moment. Seniors or not, we all need to find opportunities to serve one another. Overseas, the Far East Broadcasting Company continues to serve its listeners with programs that promote both good, healthy practices, but also proclaim the gospel message that faith in Christ gives hope in the midst of the darkest circumstances. All through these days of uncertainty, FEBC's programs have not missed a beat, giving the world the good news. To find out more and help FEBC in the cause, please visit febc.org. We will have additional information about our guest at firstpersoninterview.com, but Bruce Breinsma says that while retirement is generally seen as a time of relaxation and self-focus, God calls us to remain faithful to love, serve, and help others. That's why he's founded the Retirement Reformation. I enjoyed talking with Bruce, but before we discuss the movement, I asked him to tell me about his life and career.
Well, it's been a long one. I'm 79. Matter of fact, had my 79th birthday yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday.
And glad to do that. Judy and I are looking forward to our 58th wedding anniversary here in a couple of weeks. And we kind of thought about it a little bit and said, well, you know, we ought to start planning for our 70th now. So one of the messages of the Retirement Reformation is that retirement can be for a long time. You know, my history with the name of Breinsma, it comes from a very Dutch background and raised in Michigan, and have spent the last 30 years on the financial side of the retirement world, helping people and prompting them to save for retirement. And starting maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I realized that there was a lot more to the story than money.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the genesis of the Retirement Reformation. We have two children. We live in Colorado Springs. Got a undergrad, met my wife at Ohio State, at a little Christian Reformed church outside of town, and there were no good-looking women in the church. She showed up one day, and it was, oh, my goodness, a good-looking blonde. Thank you, Jesus. And so we had done that, went to graduate school at Berkeley, and spent a number of years in the large corporate world, and then the last 30 years running my own firm and finding my pathway to Jesus and the messaging that we're going to talk about today.
Tell me about that pathway to Jesus.
Well, pathway to Jesus, I was raised in a Christian family and as part of the Christian Reformed Church from Dutch background. And so I knew of the reality and the truth of the Bible, but it was in a whole series, probably 3 or 4 really key ways that God impacted me and where we created that personal relationship and that understanding of the role of the Holy Spirit and continue to develop the ability to listen and then to take next steps in faith. That's a lesson that all of us continue to learn. It's not just a one-time thing, and it's certainly been a hallmark.
You know, thinking of this conversation, I was thinking about my own father. I also grew up in Michigan. He was an auto worker. And I realized that his attitude towards retirement is far different, or was far different, than what mine is. And I wonder if that was a generational thing, or if that was just the way thinking was a few years ago, or it was blue-collar thinking. I don't know what it was. Have you noticed a big shift?
Oh, there's been a huge shift. I know as I was growing up, you worked to 65 and you died at 67, or if you made it to 70, you were really old. And so just the simple fact, Wayne, of longevity has just had a tremendous impact. And so for the first time, maybe since Methuselah, it's not unrealistic to have a planning horizon, an experiential horizon, for retirement to last for 30 years. I mean, 30 years, think about that. We don't have any experience with that. We don't have any models. We don't have a way. When I think about that, you know, if you go back to when you were age 20, and then you were age 50, and said, what happened in that 30-year period? Yeah. Oh, my goodness, just about everything. Well, you go and apply that to 65 to 95, and then you say, my goodness, aren't a lot of things going to happen? Isn't there a lot of opportunity? Isn't there a lot of both challenges and hope and things that can happen in that 30 years? There are, but we really haven't come to grips with that yet as a Christian culture, or perhaps even just a broader culture.
Yeah. I don't know if you agree with this or not, but I had a friend tell me when I turned 60 that your 60s and beyond are your most impactful years. How do you feel about that?
Well, I really feel that's true. I mean, there's a couple of realities that we might as well face. Wayne, you know, as we grow older, yes, we, you know, there are physical challenges and we kind of go downhill that way. And at some point there will perhaps be some mental challenges, and that's true. But I think when we look at the other side, the opportunity for spiritual growth, the opportunity for emotional growth, and then all of the experiences that we've had are there. So we are best prepared from a spiritual standpoint, hopefully from an emotional standpoint, to deal with the challenges of life and be able to pass on to others those experiences in really meaningful ways.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the spiritual, because I think we have the idea that maybe we just sort of stall out when we get to these decades of the 60s and 70s. And I don't sense that you think that's a good idea.
No, I definitely not. As a matter of fact, it's really interesting is that, you know, we've done some surveys and about 85% of Christians, when asked, what are you going to do in retirement, come up with the very disappointing answer of nothing or some version of nothing, usually couched in the terms of leisure. And then the struggle to be able to create meaning and purpose out of leisure. Now, leisure is valuable, no question.
Sure, we need it. We need rest, don't we?
But it's not a vacation for 30 years. That's not the way I read my Bible. And I think God's intent for all the experiences that he's given me and given your listeners and how that can then be applied during those three stages of retirement.
Mm-hmm. But growing spiritually can be a goal and should be a goal.
I think both growing spiritually and growing emotionally, I think those things tie together. Because for most of us, at least what we've found, is that most families, there are issues. Could be with a brother, a sister, a parent, a grandson, or something, where there's a challenge. And to be able to grow spiritually and emotionally, to be able to address those issues in a God-honoring way, is perhaps maybe in your 70s or 75 or even 80. The first time in your life that you're really prepared to be able to take that spiritual step and that relational step.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're not saying that you have to work the same job into your 70s and 80s. Life changes, and you can change, and you can shift gears, can't you?
You definitely can. I think I'm a fairly good example of that, having spent 30 years on the financial side of things, and now being, you know, God's called me to probably the next 10 or 15 years to be able to bring the message of the retirement reformation. And then just as an aside, I also have a business for mission ministry, a coffee plantation in Laos. So, you know, God calls you on unusual ways to do unusual things. But if we listen and step into them, we'll find that he has prepared us, even though on the surface it would seem like that, oh my goodness, that has nothing to do with anything you've ever done.
Yeah.
God has a bigger plan.
That is so interesting, because I don't know you, but it seems like that's a little bit out of the normal orbit. What led you into that effort?
Well, we probably need to have another whole conversation about that. It was obviously a God thing, because nobody in their right mind would have a coffee plantation in Laos. but it has just led us to some, you know, unusual paths, unusual personal growth, intercultural opportunities, and to be able to have an impact for Christ in ways that I never would have expected.
Yeah, let me explore that a little bit with you, Bruce, because personal growth, again, this is not a time of life to sit back and just coast, but kind of stretching yourself with that coffee plantation, you found some things that really were beneficial.
Oh, absolutely. The cross-cultural activities. Laos is a communist country, and it's the poorest country in Southeast Asia. And so you have issues of poverty, of education, of religion, of government. It's a country where where the rule of law is virtually unknown. And a signed contract is the beginning of negotiations. And so you learn to adapt to all those differences. And those differences then have application, strangely enough, even in our world here today, as to be flexible, to see God opportunities in situations that almost look impossible. To be able, matter of fact, I read an article the other day, and I think it's relevant, Wayne, where it said that seniors, those older, have greater emotional reactions to challenges that they are presented with. But the good news is they also have then the emotional ability to deal with them in a more effective way. And whether you're talking about the frustrations of you know, planting 1,200 acres of coffee plants in Laos, or you're talking about, you know, the issues of the days that we face today, but just to be able to know that God is in control and that he has a plan for you in it, to listen carefully, and then to be able to take next steps into it, and then be willing to be open and adjust as we go. Unfortunately, for many seniors, the world tends to get smaller. And the way I see my God, he wants me to see it as getting bigger.
We'll continue to learn about the retirement reformation with Bruce Breinsma coming up next on First Person.
We don't ask God to put an end to these challenging days because we are seeing so many people turn to the Lord now. And for that, we're very grateful. When people are anxious, sick, or confused, they have a deep need that only God can meet.
FEBC is dedicated to taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. To learn more, please visit febc.org, the Far East Broadcasting Company, until all have heard. My guest is Bruce Breinsma. He is the author of The Retirement Reformation, and we'll have information about Bruce, his book, and his website at the website firstpersoninterview.com at the end of the program as well. Bruce, you mentioned the challenge that you found in branching out and, you know, growing coffee in Laos. Not everyone is going to do something quite that dramatic, but the point is we can do something, right?
Well, you know, God created us, each one of us, uniquely. In a unique set of circumstances. Matter of fact, the way I read my Bible is that his plan for my life actually started in that eons of before time began. And that plan then was carried out in my birth and the DNA that I have, and then all of the experiences, the doors that he shut and the doors that he's opened, and the pain that we've endured, and the wonderful experiences that we've had, all of those continue, but those are unique. Those are special. And so God has uniquely prepared Wayne for the next 25 or 30 years, uniquely prepared Bruce for the next 10 or 15 or 20 years, Lord willing. And for each one of your listeners, that is true too. Unfortunately, our research shows that the majority of Christians are really not connected with that message. And that's a message that is so important to deliver.
What if we're ready to change gears, ready to leave that job we've been in for 20 or 30 years, that profession, and start something new, something challenging, but we're lost, we don't know where to begin? How do we assess what we can and should be doing?
I think that's a very common issue. As a matter of fact, most people, when we talk to them about retirement, they're very clear about what they're retiring from, Wayne, but they're very unclear about what they're retiring to. And so as part of the Reformation support system, we are continuing to build materials and support. As a matter of fact, I just finished a book, fairly short, only about 80 or 90 pages, called Charting Your Course. And it's that opportunity to then be able to connect with how has God formed you, how has he prepared you, and what does he have in mind for you to be able to get the answer to that question that you raised, which is an absolutely critical one.
Yeah. Of course, the financial question mark is a big one for many people. There's lots of fears of, do I have enough money to retire and do volunteer work, for instance, ministry work, if you will. Some thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think, frankly, more people are in better shape than they think. I think a lot, it's a fear that they won't have enough rather than a practical understanding of what is needed and how God has provided and how you can take what it is that he has provided, be a good steward of it, and then be able to take steps forward, whether it may mean that you need a part-time job for a while or that you're paid in some other way, or whether in fact you can simply exist on the resources that you've already set aside or that are provided for you and go forward. But whatever that answer is, there are new opportunities, and it's typically better than what you think, because that's an emotional, and to sit down and deal with what is really true.
Yeah. Something else I've discovered, I'm sure you have as well, and many people have discovered, is that at this stage of life, you want to be able to give back something as well. You want to be able to pour yourself into someone else and teach the lessons that you've learned. You want to mentor them. Do you write about this?
I do. As a matter of fact, it's very clear. Most people think of, and the world thinks about retirement as one homogeneous period, and it is definitely not. Matter of fact, one of the ways to think about it is in three distinct stages. And the second stage in that all runs roughly from age, say 78 to the late 80s, we call mentoring, because it is in that time frame that you have all the greatest experiences. You've got everything that you're probably going to learn in an applicable sense, and you're able to then to be able to share that, whether it be as a outstanding member of a board speaking into issues, whether it be with your kids and giving them direction or whatever it may be. That mentoring is absolutely critical. And we call the last stage is reflecting, and the first stage is activity. Hmm. So activity, mentoring, mm-hmm. and reflecting.
Good. I like that. And, of course, this is a part of your writing and your website as well.
Absolutely.
So listeners can follow up on that.
One of the things that I would urge your readers to do when they go to the website, and you'll give them that information, it's www.retirementreformation.org. But with a group of 15 others, we put together a Retirement Reformation Manifesto, 10 key points that are really critical for people to connect with. And I would urge them to do that, download a copy, take a look at it, read that through, and then see what God says to you about that. I think it's a key step in that transition and understanding to what's next.
Mm-hmm. And for married couples, this is an important conversation to have all through your life, is what do you want to do together so that you are on the same page when it comes to the retirement era?
One of the things that we found, probably the biggest single issue for many Christian couples as they are approaching retirement, is where are they going to live? Where are they going to live? Are they going to live near their kids? Are they going to live near the mountains? Are they going to live near the ocean? Are they, you know, what are they going to do? And so those issues are critical to begin in those, a nightly walk as you and your spouse talk about what that future might look like, and to identify those areas where there are potential conflict that in fact you can come together in meaningful ways. And also knowing that the move that you make, whether you stay where you are or change the size of your home or move to a different location, whatever that is, the odds are it won't be the last one. It will just be the next one.
Right. At the time of this conversation, and I'm sure for many months to come, we're in the COVID-19 era, and with all the fear and anxiety that comes with this age group.
You know, one of the things that I've noticed over the last now, you know, 6, 8 weeks, months, is the wonderful heart of so many that they say, you know, we want to be careful. We want to make sure we take care of our frontline workers and so on. But then they also say we want to make sure that we take care of the vulnerable. Well, I kept listening to that, and what I really hear is we got to take care of the old people. And yes, there are many of us that have vulnerabilities mm-hmm. from a health standpoint.
Sure.
But I almost kind of resent the implication that I am vulnerable in the sense of being unable to contribute, unable to be able to take action, unable to lead or to be a part of. And I think there's a potential problem there, and that potential problem is to leave an emotional legacy for others to view seniors with that vulnerability picture, is also for seniors to be able to embrace that and say, oh, yes, I am vulnerable. There really isn't anything I can do. And that's just not the case, and that's not God's plan.
Right. Yeah, you have to be wise and careful, but you don't want to be frozen in fear either, do you?
Absolutely not. And that's why when we talk about the what I call the retirement reformation challenge for related to the COVID-19, here's the challenge to seniors and perhaps a challenge to everyone, but is be more than vulnerable and do more than nothing.
Yeah, that's good. What do you have to say about volunteer work in these years of life?
Well, I think what God has uniquely prepared you to do, unfortunately, our church has not been particularly helpful in that area. Typically, what the church, unfortunately, too many churches say to seniors is two things. Number one, don't stop giving, very important. And then secondly, don't be grumpy, which really means just kind of stay out of the way.
Yeah.
and don't hinder us from working with the really important part of the congregation, our young people and our young marrieds and so on, because that's the future of the church. So just please don't be grumpy. And so if there is a vulnerable, well, you'd like something to do, great. We need somebody to pass out bulletins. We need some more ushers. We need to use a couple of people on a committee. I think it would be really fascinating to be a survey of the churches and see how God had prepared the congregation, and then build ministry out of that preparation rather than a perception of seniors as being in the way.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, because there's 10,000 people turning 65 every single day of the year, Wayne.
Yeah.
10,000 people
right.
turning 65 every single day, and let's say 40% of them are Christians, and they're getting shoved aside rather than use all of that latent energy, that experience, that desire to make a difference. But we've also learned that seniors act a little bit differently, and that if you have a plea from the pulpit for something, you're not going to find seniors volunteering. You need to ask them. But when you ask them, they're more than happy to do it.
Right.
And so we need to have one of our dreams is to have a retirement reformation coordinator, Wayne, in every church in the country, to be able to be the champion of these messages and then the support services and things that we're developing to be able to help, make the church alive in that area and perhaps be able to expand the message and the ministry of the church in ways that otherwise they couldn't because they didn't have the resources. Here you've got, maybe 20-25% of your congregation that's ready to go. You just need to be able to understand them and be able to package it and be able to encourage them.
And Bruce Breinsma is doing his part to encourage Christians to find and follow God's call. To learn more about the Retirement Reformation and Bruce's book with the same title, we'll place a link at our website, firstpersoninterview.com. It's true that as followers of Christ, we are never called to stop sharing the love of God and His plan of salvation. I'm thinking of the Far East Broadcasting Company of its many broadcasters who are serving listeners with not only helpful information about health and healthy relationships, but also, most importantly, teaching God's Word and sharing the gospel message. The results are amazing, and I hope you'll take the time to watch and or listen to some of the testimonies at febc.org. Say thank you to FEBC for its ministry by visiting febc.org. And look for our schedule of upcoming interviews at firstpersoninterview.com. Now, with thanks to my friend and producer Joe Carlson, I'm Wayne Shepherd. Join us again for First Person.